The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this feast of Saints Peter and Paul, St. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you look at the calendar of the church year, in any of the hymnals that have been used in the churches of our synod throughout its more than 175 years, you'll find that the church year calendar always includes days for the commemoration of the apostles, the 11 men Jesus called during his earthly life, together with St. Paul, whom the risen Lord called to be an apostle after his resurrection when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, where he, who was then the sworn enemy of Christ, intended to arrest and imprison any Christians he found in Damascus. So why has our synod, since its beginning, and indeed the church from ancient times, kept these days in commemoration of the apostles? To answer that question, we must first ask, what in fact is an apostle? And the answer to that question is found in St. John's account of the appearance of the risen Lord to the 11 disciples on the evening of that first Easter day. St. John tells us that the risen Lord appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The word apostle is based on the Greek word apostello, which means send. And so an apostle is one who is sent, one who is sent by the risen Lord to bear witness to him, one who is sent to bear witness to Jesus, to bear witness especially to Jesus' resurrection, which is the ground of our whole life and hope. Our whole faith rests on the witness of the apostles. And that's why we say in the Creed, "I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church." The church's life rests on the witness of the apostles. In the Gospel that's always been read on this feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, the Lord Jesus asked the apostles two questions. First, he asked them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man," and by the Son of Man, Jesus means himself, "who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And then Jesus asks the second question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, at which Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The name Peter means rock. Jesus says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Christ builds his church on the rock of Peter's confession of faith, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's confession is in fact the confession of all the apostles, since Peter speaks not for himself alone, but as the spokesman for all the apostles. And on that confession, on that solid rock, the church forever stands, because it is the church of the Lord who conquered sin and death and hell through his atoning death and life-giving resurrection. As we sing in one of our Easter hymns, he closed the yawning gates of hell. The bars from heaven's high portals fell. Let songs of praise his triumph tell. The apostles are the witnesses to the risen Lord. And on that witness, the church is built and stands firm. And it is through the apostles' witness that Christ builds the church. The apostles don't build the church, and you and I most certainly don't build the church. Replying to Peter's confession, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, a rock, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. For when we look at Peter himself was anything but rock-like. For scarcely had he finished making his bold confession of Christ as the Son of the living God before we find Peter trying to dissuade Jesus from following the way marked out for him by the Father, the way of suffering and the cross. And on the night when the Lord was betrayed, we find Peter being intimidated by a simple servant girl and her companions, denying that he even knows the Lord, not just once, but three times. And even after Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter still had to be persuaded by means of a vision that the good news of Jesus is meant not only for the Jews, but for the whole world. Still later, St. Paul had to rebuke Peter to his face, because Peter had withdrawn from table fellowship with the Gentile Christians at Antioch for fear of the Judaizers, who despised the Gentile converts to the faith. So was Peter a rock? Looking at the evidence, you might even think that our Lord was indulging in irony, perhaps even in humor, when he called Peter a rock. Well, the evidence is clear, isn't it? In himself, Peter was not rock-like. He was much more like the proverbial reed shaken by the wind. And yet, Peter is a rock, but only because he confesses the Lord Jesus to be the Son of the living God, the heaven-sent Savior himself, the rock of our salvation, in whom is all our hope. Weak and vacillating, Peter may well have been, but there was nothing weak or vacillating in his confession of Jesus. And through that rock-like confession, the Lord Jesus has been building his church ever since and will go on building his church until the end of days. Says the Lord Jesus, upon this rock, I will build my church. And how we need to hear those words and take them to heart. Because there are always people who foolishly imagine that they must somehow build the church. Listen now to some words of Dr. Luther, who said, "It is not we who are to maintain the church, nor could those before us do it, nor will those who come after us be able to do so. It is only he who says, 'Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world,' it has always been he, it is he now, and will always be he, as it is written in the book of Hebrews, 'Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever.' And as it is written in the book of Revelation, 'Who is and who was and who is to come, he is the man, that is his name, which belongs to no one else, nor may it be given to any other. I will build my church.' And so it is the risen Lord Jesus who builds his church wherever the witness of the apostles is heard. Today the church remembers and gives thanks for the life and the witness and the martyrdom of the apostles Peter and Paul, who both in Holy Scripture and in the consciousness of the church are the preeminent apostles. But both Peter and Paul were in themselves frail human beings, as we see so clearly in Peter's life. And as we see in the humble honesty of St. Paul's words, when in speaking of himself and of his associates in the work of proclaiming the good news of Jesus, he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, literally in very fragile clay pots. And Paul adds, so that the transcendent power may belong to God and not to us. Paul, whose given name was Saul, had himself been the sworn enemy of Christ and brutally persecuted Christ's followers. He consented to the stoning to death of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, and was on his way to Damascus to add to the list of martyrs when the risen Lord appeared to him, his sworn enemy, on the road. And so St. Paul, like St. Peter, who'd once publicly denied his Savior, could never forget Christ's great mercy to him. And Paul even called himself the chief of sinners. Yes, Saints Peter and Paul, whose festival we celebrate, are the preeminent apostles. But they are that because they had both experienced the amazing grace, the astonishing mercy of the Savior to them. And with their own blood, both Peter and Paul sealed their witness to the Savior who had shed his own precious blood for them and for the whole world. The Church's celebration of the deaths of the holy martyrs is always a celebration of the Lord's glorious resurrection, because in the victorious deaths of the holy martyrs, as in the victorious deaths of Peter and Paul in Rome, the light of the Lord's resurrection, we see the light of the Lord's resurrection, which bathes the whole universe in its radiance. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.